Having lived in Moab, Grand County, Utah, Arizona, for most of the last 33 years, over half my life, I have learned that these places are largely inhabited by some of the finest, most generous, nicest human beings on earth. And I include miners and cowboys and returned missionaries in that category. But why do such nice people have such god-awful politicians? The answer may lie, I think, in the fact that the people of Arizona and Utah are too nice. We are too polite. We tolerate too much. All the public opinion polls of the last few years make clear that the great majority of voters in both states, Arizona and Utah, want our wild areas preserved, not developed, want our air and water cleaned up, not further polluted, want industrial and population growth stabilized, not stimulated. The people, the majority, are on our side, not theirs, and yet the politicians continue heavily, stubbornly blundering ahead, promoting things like CUP and CAP, Central Utah Project, Central Arizona Project, nuclear power plants in Arizona, scientific boondoggles like the Super Collider, toxic waste dumps, freeways, highways, more industrial growth, more population growth. It's as if the very process of representative government in America has broken down. The politicians do not represent the voters. They seem to represent the commercial interests which finance their election campaigns. Which finance their grotesquely, grossly expensive election campaigns. In America, politics has become a game for the rich, for the rich only, or for the cronies and the servants of the rich. That's why our politicians no longer represent majority sentiment. They can't afford to, because they've been paid off under the table by the fat boys from industry and commerce. America's business, said Calvin Coolidge some 60 years ago, is business. And alas, that still seems to be the case. America's business is business, and the lunatic ideology of perpetual, never-ending quantitative growth goes on as before. Growth for the sake of growth. Cancer. Unless we, people, can find a way to break through this crust of money power and regain control of our own country and our own lives, we will continue to witness the gradual loss of everything we love, everything we treasure. Meaning true democratic government, that is, government by the people, not merely of the people, a stabilized human population, a reliable, steady state economy, high standards of education for our children. For example, no teacher should have to handle more than 15 kids at a time. I speak from personal experience. My wife was a school teacher. Furthermore, I think that all school children from grade 1 up to grade 12 should spend one day a week in the outdoors. I'd rather see our kids wandering around in the hills, along the rivers, out in the desert, up in the mountains, and sitting all day staring at a video screen pushing buttons for IBM. And the other things that we're in danger of losing, that we are gradually losing, namely beautiful and livable towns and cities, social justice for all minorities, including young white working class males, fair opportunities for all, and to get a little closer to our concerns here this evening, clean air, the kind of 100-mile visibility we used to have in the Southwest, clean, drinkable water, mountain streams, rivers that you can drink out of without boiling your tin cup. Lots of open space, lots of wildlife habitat, wildness and wilderness and freedom. They go together. How can we have real freedom without wilderness?